Hi, everybody. Kurt Schlicker here for Unredacted Town Hall VIP thing. I have a very, very special guest tonight. No, we're not doing this in the car, driving out to dinner or lunch with Arena, as I usually do.
Captive.
Yeah. Yes. I've got the legendary Dwayne Patterson here. He's the producer for Hugh Hewitt. He is the mentor of a whole generation of radio hosts and guest hosts. If you like Larry O'Connor, and why the hell would you like Larry O'Connor? Dwayne is the guy who taught him how to do radio. So Dwayne is over at my house. He's got his lovely bride who I'm not going to say anything about because she might want to remain anonymous. Arena hasn't had that luck. No, you've been sucked into the vortex of K-Dog. You are part of the magic. Dwayne, welcome to Unredacted. This should drive you crazy because you're devoted to technological perfection in the production of media, and I'm devoted to just getting it done. It's on my phone.
Well,
here we go.
Well, clearly I haven't taught you about mic presence to begin with.
Mic presence.
Mic presence, yes. You did.
Well, there's a thing here. It says I'm very loud.
Yeah, it does. And my amazing wife Joy, who's sitting right here, has this little thing on her phone that says, "It's too loud. It's too loud. Get into a quieter place."
That's why I have producers.
So
I'm going to just send it off, and they'll make it listenable.
So you mentioned Arena, and we had been talking about this dinner we were going to have, and. You had asked me about my, he says, so what's your wife's name? And I told
because you called her Joy.
Because I call her Joy all the time.
And I was like, because did I get that
she
right?
Is Joy.
Because she is my Joy.
She's all of our Joy.
She has always been my Joy. And,
she's my Joy.
And the reason I don't use her real name on the air is.
Because she'll kill you if you do.
Because she will murder me in my sleep. And so I have come up with a pseudonym.
Okay.
And he says, well, but he says, I've outed Arena on the air. I know you haven't. You always refer to whenever you've come to the station, whenever you've done our show, you refer to her as the angry human or the
the one with the machete.
Yes,
I have not made any conscious effort to avoid saying her name because people, if they look me on Twitter, they see her. I got her picture.
Well,
I got her in my banner.
Okay, I understand that, but considering. That my wife is employed in education.
We
are not going to mention.
There's just no reason to.
None of anybody's
nothing.
Business.
It's none of anybody's business.
So let me ask you the question that's on everybody's mind.
Please.
Are you tired of all the winning yet?
Not even close.
Holy cow.
So let me put my cards on the table right up front. In 2016, when there was 42 Republicans running, Donald Trump was about my 41st choice of the 42.
Yeah, right ahead of Jeb.
No. Actually, I had Jeb in front of him. You know who my bottom rail was?
Mm-mm.
Jim Gilmore? Yes. You remember who he is?
Yes. He was the high poobah of Virginia or something.
Yeah, he was a governor of Virginia, and he ran the RNC for a while into the ground, but he ran the RNC for a while. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Yeah, his motto was, at least I'm not Michael Steele.
That's exactly right. So, my guy in 2016, I was a Rubio guy in 16. And
I like Cruz.
And yeah, when Cruz. We... I eventually got to Cruz, and then when it became Trump or bust, it's like, okay.
It's Trump.
If it's Trump or Hillary, that's an easy call.
Yeah.
He's
not Hillary.
In 24, my biggest concern, I was not against Donald Trump at all in the primary. I would have preferred DeSantis.
Mm-hmm. I was a DeSantis mm-hmm. guy because I thought Trump was going to lose.
Yeah.
I wasn't anti-Trump. I love Trump.
You're right. My two biggest concerns were I did not believe that Trump, when the 24 primaries were just getting going, I didn't think he had enough movement to be able to win back some of the suburban moms, seniors, right. and independents. And without them, he couldn't win.
Shows what we know.
Well... But what we also hadn't factored in was before those primaries happened, We didn't have 9% inflation. We didn't
lawfare.
We didn't have all the lawfare. We didn't have Joe Biden demonstrating he was 145 years old.
I mean, he was a human eggplant.
Right.
Except eggplants are useful.
So the landscape changed and made the dynamics possible, obviously. But the other reason I didn't support Trump at the time is because at best, it's a four-year prospect. And I knew Joe Biden and the Democrats had screwed things up enough that it's going to be an eight-year project to get the country back into decent hands again. And I was figuring DeSantis was every bit as conservative, if not more so than Trump. And you give him a lot more energy and 8 years of a potential glide path, you're going to do all sorts of amazing things. Oh. That said, this last 2 weeks has been extraordinary.
The thing is, you
it's
look
been
at it
like
is,
4 years.
You look at it, it's like, what would DeSantis have done different that would be better? And he's busy squelching the rhino uprising in Florida right now, which he's going to do. But I mean, Trump has, first of all, Trump is following to the letter the stuff I had in my book, Will Be Back.
Yeah.
Because I said, this is how you do it. Now, I'm not saying that they're doing what I said, but, you know, I will take credit for it. The thing is, every day they're hitting so much stuff, the enemy can't fight back. Even the day that they did the funding thing, remember the funding? Yeah. Oh, there's confusion. Everybody, oh, it's so confused. And sissy Republicans, you know, off the record. Oh, I'm very concerned about how Trump's very confused about what he's doing. Trump did like six things that day. He took transsexuals out of the army. I mean, he did like six different things that just went under the radar as everyone was going after something that they're going to redo in a more effective form, having incorporated all the objections to it.
You're 60, I'm 58. Donald Trump is 78, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So one day this last week, in fact, a week ago Friday, he gets up, he talks to reporters in the morning.
Yep.
He gets on Air Force One. He goes to Western North Carolina and he looks around and he goes, where the hell's the Army Corps of Engineers? Where the hell's the dump trucks? Where's the cleanup crew? Mm-hmm. And he holds a press conference and he holds court in North Carolina. And he says, well, this is going to change and it's going to change right damn now. And he gets on the plane, flies all the way across the country, goes to L.A., lands in L.A., same day, and he holds court and views the area in Palisades. And when he sits down with Karen Bass, Gavin Newsom doesn't show up because Gavin Newsom is, I don't know, he's hanging out at the French Laundry or somewhere.
And so, even he's too smart to show up in front of Trump.
Yeah. So Karen Bass is there, and you know Karen Bass has the Guy Fawkes mask look on her face, right?
Yes.
We like to call it resting Bass face.
Resting Bass face.
And she says, like, "Oh yeah, well, you know, we'll get people into their homes in a week or two or something like that." And he says, "No, we're getting in there tomorrow." And she says, well, "We can't do that." He goes, "Watch me." He gets off of that gig. Hops back on the plane, goes to Las Vegas that night, and gives a speech that night. All that in one day.
That's amazing.
Can you imagine doing that?
No.
I can barely imagine getting up writing a town hall column.
So my wife's and I, our son, just turned 21 on Christmas Eve. For his birthday, he wanted to go to his 21st birthday, he wanted to go to Vegas. Now, not to go drink, not to go gamble. He wanted to go ride roller coasters. There's three roller coasters there that he hadn't ridden before, too.
Nice.
Three. And the Ducks.
And then he wanted to go see a Ducks game because the Ducks were playing in Las Vegas. He wanted
to see
a road game. So that's what he wanted to do. And we said, okay, we'll make it happen. Because of our glorious overlords at Salem, who apparently don't love the baby Jesus as much as they did last year, we had to work on Christmas Eve. So we had to do a show on Christmas Eve morning. So they went to my wife and our son went to Vegas a day early to go watch the game. The girl, the daughter, and I had to work, and we both had to do our thing. So we took the early morning flight to go to Vegas on Christmas Eve morning to go join them. We hung around Vegas. They picked us up. We hung around Vegas all day. We went and rode roller coasters. We had a glorious lunch together, a birthday, kind of a brunchy thing with them. And then we hit the airport and flew back that night. So I did, for the first time in my life, a trip to and a trip back in the same day. Now, granted, it was only an hour there and an hour back, but I came home and I was exhausted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This guy,
and he's doing the Trump dance.
Man. This guy's doing the Trump dance after two different gigs in two different states on both coasts and giving a speech, and he's doing the Trump dance in Vegas.
Homeboy is
it's unreal the kind of energy he has.
He is a machine, and the machine is just grinding on. I mean, today would be Friday night. Today they fired all the prosecutors who had anything to do with the J6 thing. And I'm like, yay. And it's like, what's going to happen? I mean,
what?
You know, the headline on Saturday is going to be really.
But honestly, what did they think was going to happen?
They didn't believe that a Republican president would do what he said because none of the other Republican presidents had ever done what they said. As soon as they got in, they got talked about, they got told, well, you know, you got to be realistic. You can't do that. There are norms and there are guardrails. They tried to put him in jail for the rest of his life by framing him. And then when that didn't work, they inspired their friends to try to murder him.
Yeah.
At this point, there are no norms and guardrails. And boy, those new rules, they're kind of like a suppository, huh? That's not working out so good. They didn't think Trump, you know, they took it seriously enough to essentially destroy his and other people's lives. They didn't realize that the people they tried to destroy would be serious in return. Never occurred to them.
The thing that's amazing about this is he has surrounded himself with a bunch of pretty good lawyers and a pretty good team. And
this isn't the clown car this time.
They started hatching the plan at the transition point, unlike the first time around when they were under attack with Lawfare and the whole Russia hoax thing from the get-go, right? And so this time, the thing that's the genius move of the Trump team, and I don't know how they came up with this, but it's flat out brilliance. So they know that the Senate, even though of the Democrats in the upper chamber, you can really count on one, maybe two hands, the ones that are the true ideologues that are really trying to block them just because they're right there shoulder to shoulder with the MSNBC fever swamp, right?
Yep.
There's Chris Murphy's and there's the Ron Wyden's.
And Big Chief Warren.
And Big Chief Warren, right? There's, but outside of a handful of them, the rest of them, it's all performative art.
Yeah.
They truly don't give a crap of if Trump gets his team or not. All they're doing right now, they think the map's coming to them in 2 years.
Mm-hmm. They're wrong.
I agree with you. They think that they have more seats on offense than they do defense, and it's their cycle coming up. And they're just like, let Trump do what he wants. We're gonna be able to cash in. We're just gonna ride it out till the next election. We'll object as we have to just to keep our base happy. But their heart's not in it, right? So here's what Trump does. He knows that the Senate's going to object and they're going to stretch out the 30-hour rule for every nominee, every appointee, right? So in the meantime, what does Trump and his team do during the transition? They go to DOJ. They don't look at the senior management. They look at you know, 8, 9, 10, 15, 20 lawyers down until they find somebody that's a conservative or somebody that's going to play ball with them, mm-hmm. right? And they identify who that is and they contact him or her in every agency, ag, state, everywhere, right? And they contact him and they say, here's what we're going to do. On day one, we're going to leapfrog you, make you acting head of every agency over everybody else that's in front of you. And you're going to, as the acting department head, you get to, since you're an existing staff, this 120-day rule that's out where
it prevents you from moving or firing anyone.
That prevents a new administration from gutting out an agency because they'd have to wait, you know, 120 days, 4 months. That no longer applies because they are using the motions of the Senate dragging out the appointees that would incorporate the 120-day rule. They're using that stall tactic against him by taking an existing staffer that's a good guy, leapfrogging, making him acting chair, and gutting the place.
You want to keep Pam Bondi from taking the job? That's fine. 120-day clock hasn't started. You 30 jerks
are gone.
Start prepping your CVs.
And that's exactly what's happened to DOJ. They picked a mid-level staffer and said, "You're now acting AG. And here's who we want you to fire." And he's firing.
The nice thing is, they're fighting on the personnel system grounds. They are saying you are suspended with pay. Go work at home. Go home. You're not doing anything. They can't complain. Where are you going to sue me?
We don't want you at IRS anymore. What? You don't want to quit? Okay. You're now on border duty.
Yeah.
You're down the border. You're helping.
There's plenty of ways to deal with these folks. A lot of them are resigning on their own. That's fine.
You told me how to do military. What's that, General? You don't want to take your retirement right now? How's Nome, Alaska sound?
Dillmendorf Air Force Base. I hear it's beautiful. And somebody's got to hand out volleyballs at the rec center.
Exactly.
Let's go.
Yeah.
The thing is, Trump came in with no Rolodex and no idea how the federal government worked. Now he's got a Rolodex, to the extent we have Rolodexes. And they're playing the game. And the Democrats are completely discombobulated. They have zero idea. And by the way, I had an article that said Democrats are totally discombobulated. That was last Thursday. Today, National Review ran one talking about the discombobulated Democrats. I'm like, you little weasel. By the way, do you like my my little tete-a-tete with the Ponzi English guy?
Yes, I did. I
found out he was gay, and I was surprised because, A, he's not dressed well, and he is not fabulous.
you're talking about your British guy, right?
Yeah, the British guy.
Okay, so when we set up this dinner, Kurt cooked like the most amazing fillets ever. Yeah. I have to admit,
it's a fabulous
dinner. I asked what can we bring. He said bring dessert. So I go to the Nothing But Cake store,
which is amazing.
It's
very good. Mm-hmm.
There, I mean, always. If you're gonna get a cake, that's where
that's
you go,
what
right?
You get. Yeah.
So I walk up and it's like, okay. I had left the studio. I didn't have lunch yet, so I'm hungry.
Out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, so you don't go into this cake store when you're hungry because it affects your decision making, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, do I go with the solid chocolate chip because that's the money cake, mm-hmm. or do I get the lemon? I don't want to do the red velvet because red velvet that's got all sorts of different that's a little too Chief Warren for me, right? but do I want to get the straight vanilla? Well, now you see, I'm going to go see Kurt. Kurt's, I want to bring a cake that would, I don't want to bring a cake that would remind him of the experience he had with British journalism. So I'm looking around going, okay, so what am I going to get? I'm hungry and I want that chocolate cake, and I want that chocolate cake right now. So that's what the cake was.
Yes,
good
it was.
Choice.
Oh, but yes, choice. But yeah, you had a vanilla experience with that.
I did. He get they called me and get on, and he has his correspondent who is based in Washington D.C. Of course, reading Democrat talking points. He gets to me, it's Trump, Hitler, or the Antichrist. And I was pretty much like, I unreservedly support everything Donald Trump says and does. It went downhill from there. He eventually threw me off.
I'm telling you.
It was great.
I'm telling you, just in the last.
Called me a numbskull.
Oh, and a bigot.
And a bigot.
You're
and
a bigot.
My Latinx immigrant wife was very upset to hear about that.
Yes.
Who is a girl. May I throw that out there?
In the 2 weeks of this ministry, actually in the 3 weeks, because you had some of the confirmation hearings before, right?
Yeah.
So in the 3 weeks that we've had in the kind of the Trump era, the amount of dumb things said is it's just exploded.
Do you support this onesie?
I know.
Oh, that was amazing.
I love that.
I want to change
my bio to, you know, onesie supporter.
So I on my podcast on Dwayne's World, I wrote three columns in a row, not thinking I was going to have to. But I wrote one column, like the top 10 dumb things said on a Tuesday, right? And there, and I had plenty left over. And so I got to Wednesday, and it's like, well, damn me, there's 10.
Today's 10 dumb things.
And I did.
Oh, God.
And I did it a third day in a row. I did the triptych. I did the trifecta of dumb things because there was that much dumb stuff said just in the Senate alone. And then I transferred it to audio version and did a podcast of the top dumb things of the week. And I can still... I still have enough material left over. I'm going to go home tonight, and I'm going to have a column on Hot Air on Saturday morning. That's the top 10 dumb things just since my dumb things on Thursday that happened on Friday. It's crazy.
The thing is, they are complete. Look, I understand they're, opposition. This is an opposite. This is a total failure.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the Trump nominees know how to handle stuff. I mean, when you get Robert F. Kennedy, you go, well, you know, Bernie Sanders, you're one of the highest, you know, you got one of the most big pharma contributions of anybody. And Bernie,
yeah, he straightened his hair. He looked at Bernie Sanders. He said, the fact is, Senator, we both are presidential candidates. We both have run campaigns. We both had to have the filings. And I looked at your filings for both your 20 and your 24 run, and nobody has taken more big pharma money than you.
Oh, he was mad.
He was so mad. That was an amazing.
And it was like, it was like water on a robot. You know, he just sparks started coming out.
The thing is,
look,
Republicans haven't challenged them the way they're challenging now with super smart people who are totally aggressive and don't honor norms and guardrails that don't exist.
Right.
When they try to lock him up for the rest of his life and or allow the murder of him, and I don't know if there's any other way to put it.
Encourage it.
You don't get norms or guardrails. This is the world without norms or guardrails. I hope you enjoy it.
When Caroline Leavitt comes out for her first press briefing without a binder, knows every issue and knows every single seat by name and calls everybody out by name, something that her predecessor couldn't do in a million years.
Because she was retarded.
And she's 27 years old?
She's 27. Married to a 60-year-old.
Yeah.
Let's just throw that out there.
She's amazing.
He looks good, though.
I watched
her. I was looking at her. I was like, hey, he passed for 47.
Well,
I've watched her. She's impressive.
She is.
She
just had a baby.
Really, yeah. She's really impressive.
I'm telling you, the communication skills, even Miller is terrific.
They're all very good, and they just don't care.
Right.
They're
on a mission.
Did you see the New York Magazine, the Cruel Kids? You guys saw that? That was the picture of all these people, and they're trying to make it all James Spader in an 80s movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And you look at this picture, and you're supposed to go, these are horrible people. Ew, ick. And you're looking at them going, I want to party with them. They're all like happy and healthy and pretty. That one girl from Texas has become like a super starlet because she's not like a pierced-faced mutant. All the guys look like they could do a push-up. I mean, I'm like, I totally would rather party with these guys. I mean,
yeah.
At least they look like fun. Everybody, I mean, all the, you know, one way, some guy with a bone through his nose or something. A piercing, a tattoo on his head, talking about how his dad didn't love him enough.
The best way to sum up what we've seen so far out of the administration is in about a 3-hour window, you had the president of Colombia say, we're not going to take our people back. We're not going to let your planes land with our people. Stuff it. We're just not going to do it. And Trump said, okay, fine. Tariffs for you. And 37. And when he announced that, everybody online on Twitter or X and all the other social media sites, we're all saying, see, this is what you're going to get with Trump. Now we're going to have – you're going to have $25 Starbucks coffee. You're not going to be able to get – all this bad stuff's going to happen. See, it's your fault. You voted for the wrong guy. That lasted for 37 minutes.
It also helped that the social media guys came out and started putting up pictures of the president of Colombia with his transsexual girlfriend.
Yes, that's certainly...
Boyfriend, whatever.
You see, that's the thing is...
You can't...
People on the right...
Yeah, we're done.
We're done and we've figured out how to play this game now.
And CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, literally meaningless.
But it totally meaningless. So 37 minutes later... All of a sudden, the president of Colombia says, you know, upon further review, we're going to cave completely.
Yeah, we're going to submit. Totally.
So once they caved completely.
Let me kiss your toes.
Exactly. Once all that happened.
Which probably actually literally
was
a thing.
There was one tweet, and I can't remember that it was some lefty influencer. It was Harry Sisson or somebody. It was some crazy person on the left. Puts out a simple tweet and it capstoned the entire time we're talking about here. And that is, well, Trump's just a big bully. There, I said it. Yes.
Okay.
You finally get it.
Thank you. If there's anything America needs more of right now, it's bullying.
For this country.
Yes, weirdos, losers, and mutations have gotten completely out of control. There was a time when we knew how to control weirdos. And that was by relentless bullying. And I didn't believe that until I saw what happens when, like in the famous Simpsons episode, when the local Mensa guys take over the town and it all goes to hell. What happens when the weirdos, losers, and mutations actually get power? They're much, much worse than normal, horrible people. Nobody who has power is good.
We as a country have been bullied for the last 4 years.
Yes, and now we're everybody. Bullying back.
And now we are the bully on the block.
And
it feels wonderful.
Well, the thing is, you know, I'm on with this English dude, and he's like, well, you're a racist against disabled people. I don't know how that works. But you're racist. And I was like, I don't care what you – A, you're a foreigner. So by definition, I don't care. I spent 5 years of my life overseas cleaning up your messes. So you mean nothing to me. But even if you were an American, I don't care what you think. I'm just going to do what I need to do. See, we used to have a part where if somebody goes, well, you're a racist, a normal person would go, oh my gosh, I better take a personal inventory. I certainly don't want to do that. No one would call me that unless I was doing something. Let me make sure that I'm not, my gosh, if I'd done something, that's what a normal, now it's like, well, you're just a lying piece of scum and I'm going to destroy you.
Yeah.
And I'm
how's Keir Starmer doing, by the way?
Keir Starmer's doing poorly.
That's what
but
I But
they've gone for four more years.
Maybe.
Hope they enjoy.
I'm not sure it'll go that long. It's not a fixed election, you know. It could fall early.
Well, they've they've messed that country up.
Yes, they sure have.
And this is folks, never give up your guns.
Yeah.
Because they'll put you in jail for tweeting.
Or they'll let, you know, savages rape and torture your daughters for 25-something.
Yes, but if you allow that to happen, you're a good person for some reason. I hate this stuff so much. Yeah, but I'm loving the Trump stuff. I just don't know if we... I don't know if my heart can take 4 years of every day.
No,
is another
every day
glorious,
we wake up, it's Christmas.
Yeah, it's another
day,
glorious
thing. I'm like, oh my God, what's under the tree
and then,
today?
And then you actually have problems that you didn't foresee, like this horrible airplane crash.
Yeah.
And Trump comes out and he says, well, first of all, we need to look at DEI because DEI, you can't say that. You don't know. Hey, DEI screwed up every institution we have. I think it's reasonable to take a look at it. Oh, and here's a bunch of facts showing that, you know, they wanted to put people with what, severe mental illnesses and severe intellectual defects in the FAA. That's your DEI.
I went back and I saw a video earlier this morning that somebody pulled of a confirmation hearing that got scuttled because the nominee was that bad. This guy, his last name is Washington. I can't remember what his first name was. And he was Biden's nominee to run the FAA.
Oh, dear.
And this was back in June of 2023. Okay. And he is sitting down in front of...
don't say Kennedy. No.
It wasn't.
Because that would have been beautiful.
It would have been. It wasn't Kennedy. It was Mike Rounds or somebody.
Okay. Mike Rounds isn't a fireball.
It wasn't a fireball.
Kind of bland.
But he started asking him about basic military procedure, or not military, avionic procedure.
What is an airplane? Big sky bird.
I mean,
metal
stuff like that, or you know what, air traffic control. And he says, "Well, I'm sure when I get on the job, I will learn this kind of stuff." And he says, "No, seriously, what about this? You know, asked about this." ground radar system. And he says, well, my experience actually isn't in avionics. And this was Biden's guy to run the FAA. And after that performance alone in his confirmation hearing, it got scuttled. And Biden never did replace him because this was June of 23. It was an acting FAA administrator for the whole rest of the term.
Who's been fired?
Who's now been fired. So for the people that are trying to blame this on Trump 2 weeks in, saying, well, he should. You haven't had anybody of seriousness running the FAA for a year and a half.
You know, I don't think any of that works. I think somebody goes, you know, it's like it's been 5 days and the price of eggs is still too high. Normally people are looking and go, why do you think do you think I'm stupid?
No,
maybe you're stupid.
Did you ever see Christmas Vacation, the Chevy Chase movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's like when Clark finally gets the lights to work, when they flip on the switch and finally the lights work, and the father-in-law comes out and says, well, the little lights aren't twinkling. Okay. It's the same mentality,
no,
right?
No, but they actually thought he was going to go in and want people to change the prices of eggs. You understand that, right? They actually wanted him to do that. Like a good communist would.
Because, price controls are exactly what Republicans are about.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what they expected.
That was Kamala Harris's thing that went poorly. I'm very excited about it. Hey, we are over a half an hour, man. They've got an extra time because we usually go about 20 minutes. But, Dwayne, what are thoughts do you happen to have?
My thoughts are, especially if you know somebody in Los Angeles, Kurt and I and Arena and Joy, we're all having this conversation about whether LA is going to flip and whether California can flip. And I'm telling you, I think it can happen. The trick is, it's got to be a pretty quick uniting behind the right person. And I've got some ideas for who that person is. But if
they may not feel the same,
if a Republican, not five, not 10, not 15, but if a Republican can capitalize on the period of time we're in, because the fires happened, that's just the beginning of the nightmare that's going on in LA County. If what we think is going to happen happens, LA County could be in for a very big surprise after years and years and decades of support for Democrats. We elect a governor in a year and a half here. And I'm telling you, the timing of this fire was not the best for Democrats. It just wasn't politically.
Well, I am much less sanguine about the chances for a Republican, but
I'm just saying the opportunity is there.
There's, you know, gosh, I hope it works out. Anyway, that should be enough. Go see my columns every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday here on Town Hall. Go read The Attack, probably the greatest book that's ever written by somebody who isn't God. And follow me on Twitter at Kurt Schlichter. Thank you to
If there's any time left over, go to Dwayne's World.
Oh, gosh.
Dwayne.world.
Oh, my gosh. How did I watch that up?
Dwayne's World.
Now you would think that somebody like me, who has mentored somebody that allegedly knows how to do hosting, would have known how to promo his guest. You would think, wouldn't you?
Oh, my God. I blow.
I'm so sorry.
I suck.
But here we have Kurt Schlichter following along in the Andrew Breitbart mode.
It's a long story, and we don't have time to tell it. Just trust me. Anyway,
it's a good story, though.
But do read Dwayne's World. I'm a subscriber, so I'm there.
Well, thank you.
But anyway, Dwayne and Joy and Arena and Barky and Bitey are in the house also.
Aww.
So we got that.
Enjoy.
I said joy.
Okay.
I said Dwayne and Joy.
Okay.
Dwayne,
Joy. I did.
Okay.
Dwayne and Joy.
I said Dwayne and Joy.
Okay.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
I heard it.
All right.
I heard it.
All right. I believe you.
Good Lord, it's a giant conspiracy against me. Anyway, thank you all for being VIP members. You guys support Town Hall, and I very much appreciate what you guys do. I will see you next week. Adios. Bye.